now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski. And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley. Coach, tough loss on last Friday night, last 4 seconds of the game. Just review a little bit for us the game and how everything panned out for you towards the end there.
Well, Rob, I think it was a great, great high school football game. And one thing that we've been blessed with this year is great high school football games. But we haven't been able to win a couple of these close ones. And to me, what I was proud of is our kids battled away. And they were fighting the whole entire time. And we came up short. There was a lot of good things that happened Friday night, and there were some things that we had to work on this week to improve on. But overall, I mean, we played a special team, Woodbury, with a special football player who's going to Alabama. Pregame, a buddy of mine who coaches Alabama shows up, and I was like, of all games you got to come to is this game, because kids are still going to be special, but when you got your college coach there watching on the sideline, you know you're going to get a little bit more out of that young man. And it was a little bit of a start like the Paulsboro game. You know, we gave up a big play. You know, the first series we stopped them, they stopped us. And we preached all week. We got to eliminate big plays. And then the first one, I think it was a 65-yard pass that we had blown coverage in and gave up an easy one. And then the next one, I mean, the young man just was a lot faster than us, a little bit more athletic. We took some bad angles. We missed a couple tackles. And he took the long run, 70 yards for a touchdown. So I think we were down 14-0, I think, at that time. I may be wrong. But our kids kept plugging away. And, we kept fighting. The encouraging thing was, we gave up a big punt return, and then they scored the next place, and we didn't do well on defense, where we had to lead 15-14. Then they took the lead. And what was encouraging was our offense marching the ball right down the field and scoring and tying it back up. And then at the end of the day, it was our job on defense to stop them and play for overtime, and which we didn't do. But once again, it's a loss, something hopefully we can build on. But there was a lot of good things that came out of Friday night's game.
And you mentioned falling behind first. Mm-hmm. Five out of the six games this season you guys have played, with the exception of the Gateway game,
right,
you guys have fallen behind. Is there a reason for the slow start that you guys have, or is it just coincidence?
Great question. I wish there were a lot of games like the Gateway game with the blowouts, but I don't know. You know what, going back to the summer, we struggle. We used to do on Wednesday night 7-on-7 with Bishop Eustis. We'd always – it'd take us about our third series to get things rocking and rolling. There's some things we talked about maybe pregame we need to change a little bit. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't have an answer for you, but it was things that are happening in the summer. It's happening this season. I mean – the encouraging thing is that our kids aren't quitting, and they're fighting, and they're competing. But I would love to be able to change that.
Something I took away from this game that I was very impressed with your offense. High school football in South Jersey relies on the running game, but the thing that can set you apart and possibly push you ahead of other teams is passing the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think for the first time this year, you showed the ability to throw the ball, and I think that you got to be proud of that as a coach, and it's going to put a little fear in some other teams as they get ready to look at the Knights. Can you talk about the passing game?
Yeah, I think our coaches did a great job with it. Coach Rella did a good job of implementing a new passing attack, being a little bit more 50-50 balance instead of a 70-30 balance of run to pass. I thought both quarterbacks, Marcus Taylor, did a good job of throwing the ball, running the offense, and Preston Harrison did a great job of coming in and throwing the ball. I thought it was Preston's best game of throwing the ball. So it's a nice combination to have those two quarterbacks that bring something different to the table. Marcus is a little bit better athlete that has the option to run and pass, and where Preston, last Friday night did a nice job of executing what we asked him to do, and he got some big, big third down, fourth down plays for us.
Was it a priority for the coaches to get Jerry Crisman back involved in the offense? Because his last game, he really seemed it was like a big game for him. Mm-hmm. And was that a priority for you guys to get him?
It was a priority for us to open up the passing attack. Would like to get the ball in Jerry's hands anywhere from 7 to 10 times a game. I mean, he's a big wide receiver, he's very athletic, has great hands. The thing that impressed me the most about Jerry was how he responded after his first pass that was thrown to him. It was a first down, dropped it. Hey, he was looking to run before he caught the ball. But the thing I'm proud of is, you know what, he came back the next time he threw the ball, caught the ball, big yardage after a catch. He had a lot of yards after a catch last Friday night. That was the thing that was impressive. And the other thing I always tell the kids, you got to park the play and move on. You can't dwell on the last one you dropped or last one you fumbled or last missed tackle. You got to move on and play the next play. And that's what Jerry did. And that was I was really proud to see him move on from his first drop. And he had a big night.
All right, Coach, a lot of high school teams and a lot of pro teams just stay with one quarterback. You watch games on TV, they cycle in quarterbacks, they have to spend timeouts. You guys have had it almost down to a science. You can get the packages in, you can get the quarterbacks in you want. How difficult is that to teach high school kids to be ready, because things are going to change play to play?
Yeah, it's really difficult. It's a credit to our coaches, our offense coaches, and our players are staying focused throughout the course of the week, working on it in practice, substituting different personnels in and out. And then there's a lot of behind the scenes. I mean, our offensive coaches put in a lot of time of trying to get the balls in our playmakers' hands and put them in the right personnel with the right plays. And, you know, it's a credit to our players and our coaches working on it throughout the course of the week. The thing that I'm proud about with our offense is I'm seeing improvement week in and week out. The other thing, the big thing for me is we're eliminating the penalties, the substitution issues. You know, 12 guys on the field, 10 guys on the field, illegal procedure. The other night, I thought the offense did a great job.
And looking back on it, you guys had a really tough job ahead of you containing Woodbury quarterback Averett, who mm-hmm. said he's going to go to Alabama next year. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that the team did as a whole, containing him and limiting him to, I mean, he had a great game, but I don't think he did a great job, but you guys did a very good job containing what could have gotten out of hand and
falling
down 14-0.
Right. I think we did a better job as the game went on, once we reacted to his speed and his athletic ability, but he hurt us a little bit throwing the ball. You know, that's the downfall, and that was the negative coming out of the game, is our pass defense, we didn't do a good job of stepping up. But once again, we went into this game plan of stopping him in the run game, and if he's going to beat us, he's going to have to throw the ball, which, you know, he did, but there's a couple of things that happened at the end there you would like to, you know, for us to be able to make a play there and for a different outcome.
When you talk about the last series, as the kids went into practice this week, were they – did they understand what miscues they made or whatever went wrong in that last drive? Have they learned from it?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we addressed it on Monday, and through film, through walkthroughs, we get it. I mean, you know, the kids really understand what we need to do to get better for this game coming up against Haddon Heights, because they're a complete opposite team where they want to throw the ball first and then run the ball. So they're going to have some. They're going to have some difficult things for us to stop. I mean, they're going to do some things that's going to be difficult for us to stop. So we got to decide what we want to do against Haddon Heights and see what we can do to stop them.
Now take us back to the last drive of the game for Woodbury, which eventually turned into a game-winning touchdown. Mm-hmm. Minute and a half or so to go, a couple timeouts in their pocket. They drive all the way down to the 5-yard line, 4-yard line. 4 seconds left to go. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that Woodbury didn't try the field goal and they went for that little out pattern in the front corner of the end zone?
I was surprised. But then again, you rewind to the beginning again, they missed an extra point. You know, so the next two times they scored a touchdown, you know, they decided to go for 2-point conversion. The one thing about this loss, okay, I'll answer your question first with the last drive. You know, when they decided to keep the quarterback on the field, we knew they were going for it. You know, I thought our kids did a good job of executing, you know, except, you know, we should have been pressed a little bit on the coverage. We should have been a lot tighter on the coverage, but it happened. For whatever reason, you know, this is a team loss. But like I said to the kids Friday night, at the end of the game, the score is 28-22. That last play was not the outcome, was the final decision on us winning or losing the game. You can go back to about 7-8 different plays throughout that course of the game that made the difference in the football game. Yeah, everybody remembers the last play of the game, that kid running a hitch, the corner, 5 yards off of him. Yeah, was that a bad play by starting high school? The answer is yes. Would we like to have it over again? The answer is yes. But at the end of the day, there was the long first touchdown pass, Anthony's long 70-yard run, the punt return. You know, when we're up 15-14, you know, we don't have contain on. He returns all the way down to 20. The next play is a big play, the 25-yard pass for a touchdown. We run a fake field, fake punt. Khalil runs the ball all the way down to 10-yard line. They track him because they hustle, cause a fumble. They get the ball back. And then the last play. But there's a lot of things you can point at that caused us to lose. But at the end of the day, it was a team loss, and it was a great football game, and hopefully we're going to grow from that loss.
We don't get to talk about linemen offensive or defensively. For our fans out there who listen and watch the games, who are, I know it's impossible to single out everybody, but again, we focus on the guys that hold the ball.
Yeah.
Can you, tell us a little about a couple guys that have stepped up their game or really helping us offensively and defensively on the line?
Yep. Oh, well, the big thing is, at the Woodbury game, was we played without our best offensive lineman. Our best offensive lineman is JT Thompson. He's a sophomore. Great, hard-nosed, tough football player who plays on the offensive defensive line. He was out with an ankle injury. So, like we always preach here, one guy's down is another opportunity for somebody else. And we moved a couple guys around, and they really stepped up. I thought our offensive line played really, really well against Woodbury. We have Matt Docker, who's our starting tackle. We asked him to move to center, who did a phenomenal job blocking their big guys up front. Devon Tucker, who should be a fullback, who we asked at the beginning of the year be a team player and move the guard. And he's been our starting guard and starting linebacker all year. But there's a kid who gave up individual attention for the team to play offensive line. Jarrell Johnson, who's a young man who's been a defensive lineman all year that we asked because JT went down to come over and play offensive tackle, who had a nice game for us. Our right guard, DeJohn Goodall, did an outstanding job the other night against Woodbury and also plays nose guard for us. And Tony Pileski, our right tackle, did a great job. And the other kid is Devin Thompson, who's our tight end. He's a wide receiver / tight end who's a tough, hard-nosed young man that's going to stick his nose in there and work. And he's going to roll up his sleeves and work, and he does a great job of blocking. But like I always say, the games are won up front. And Friday night against Woodbury, we did enough good things up front on the offense line to win the game. On the defensive side, we play with three down linemen, and that's Jarrell Johnson, who's who's our anchor, our nose guard is DeJohn Goodall, and then Brian Mahade is our defensive end. And we rotate some guys in there. But I've been really impressed with our offensive line and defense line because they're getting better each game. And to me, that's going to be our strong suit going into next year because a lot of those guys I've mentioned are all coming back next year.
Again, that last play of the game, little 5-yard hitch from Averett to Gamble to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say to the team afterwards in the team huddle after the alma mater? You get them back in the locker room or on the field. Obviously, a crushing loss because you had them right where you wanted them, possibly going in overtime, potentially winning the game.
Yep.
What do you say to the team? It's obviously going to be a quick turnaround coming up with Haddon Heights tonight.
Yep.
What do you say to the team?
Well, guys, it hurts. I mean, look at the scoreboard. It's 28-22. That hurts. You guys played hard. You fought for four quarters. And at the end of the day, they made one more play than we did. So, how are we going to handle this? This is life. You get knocked down, you got to get back up. Saturday morning, God willing, we're all going to wake up, and it's a new day. How do we handle that? That's what life's about. It's what football's about. How do you handle those situations? So you come back in here on Monday. You decide we're going to get buckled up. Stay focused, work on now Haddon Heights. We're going to make the corrections from Friday night's game from Woodbury, and now we've got to move on. We just lost an opportunity to hopefully get home field advantage here in the playoffs. But you know what? At the end of the day, guys, we got another opportunity coming in. We got a Haddon Heights team who's a great football team coming in here. We win this game, it puts us in a better position for a playoff game or a home field game, which I would love more than anything for these kids to have a playoff game, number one. Number two, a home playoff game would be tremendous here. But that's what you talk about. And the other thing I mentioned right off the bat, like I mentioned earlier, that last play wasn't the difference in the game. Because the last thing I want is one of my players walking off the field saying, I lost that game for us. No. We lose together as a team. There was a coach's mistakes. There was players' mistakes. And it's a team effort. And there's a lot of things I pointed out earlier to the kids was the difference in that football game. But at the end of the day, hey, I'm proud of these guys. We're a 3-3 football team, and I'll put this 3-3 football team up against any 3-3 football team because I think we're pretty good.
Last thing about last Friday night's game, Marcus Taylor had a phenomenal game across the board, offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise, kicking that clutch extra point.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, usually extra points come back and haunt high school teams quite a bit. And he was in a put-in-pressure situation, down 1 point, kicking the extra point, and just boots it through the uprights. How clutch has he been for you guys this season?
He's done an outstanding job for us, especially on the special teams. Punting-wise, his average is going to be over 40,
yep,
over 40-some yards for a high school kid. It's really impressive. And he's done a great job with our kicking our extra points and kicking field goals. You know, at one point in the game, we took a field goal there, you know, if you remember. But he's done what we've asked him to do, and he's been a great team player. When I first came in here, it was Marcus Taylor, all about Marcus Taylor. Marcus Taylor's a team football player. That's one thing I can say about him. Now, when I first came in here, it was more about Marcus. Now it's more about the team. And he'll do anything you ask of him. He's a great kid, number one. And two, he's very coachable. And we've asked him to step up and be our quarterback, play a little bit of wide receiver, play a little bit outside linebacker, safety. You know what? The kid's never questioned anything. He just goes out and does his job.
We're going to get off to a quick break right now. When we get back from the break, more from Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley. You're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Back with more right after this.
Attention all Sterling High School community members. If you are a resident of Laurel Springs, Magnolia, Hinell, Summerdale, Stratford, or if you have children who attend Sterling High School, the Sterling Board of Education invites you to enjoy the recently renovated state-of-the-art fitness center at Sterling High School. Hours of operation for the fitness center are as follows: Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5:30 a.m. through 7:30 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. through 9 p.m. If you are interested in using the fitness center, please send an email indicating what day and time you would like to attend with your name, address, and phone number to Mr. Matt Sheehan at msheehan@sterling.k12.nj.us or call 856-784-1333, extension 4701.
Man, there's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station.
Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm going to go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
Well, the thrill of watching sports, keeping stats, broadcasting live events? If so, WSHS Sterling High School Radio is looking for student sports directors. As a student sports director, you will get to learn to keep stats and records, help set up broadcast live events while getting a great view of the game. Students will also record and edit sports promos to be aired on WSHS. For more information, stop by room 402 or contact station manager Rob Strauss at wshs.radio@gmail.com. Sterling High School Radio, the exclusive home for live coverage of Sterling Athletics.
And now back to the Coach's Show with Sterling football head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here on the Coach's Show with head coach Clint Wiley and Tad Kozineski, along with Rob Strauss. Now, Coach, I have broadcast two of Haddon Heights games, and I went in the air in the last game and said, talent-wise, I think they're the best team in Group 2. I'm not a coach. I'm a fan. I think this is going to be a very difficult game, considering this is a team that loves to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And as a fan, as we look at Sterling, that seems to be the area on defense that we really have to work on
mm-hmm.
to try and stop teams. How do you see us? Let's compare their offense versus our defense. Well, how do you think this is going to shape up this week?
Well, first of all, Ted, I agree with everything you just said there. I think they're a pretty good offense team. The only thing I disagree with you, I don't know if they're the best team in South Jersey, because to me, to have a great team, you got to have offense, defense, and special teams. And ranking them, their offense by far is better than their defense. But they're a solid, solid football team. Now, where we match up is I think we have some pretty good athletes. I think, like Woodbury the other night, they were faster than us, and that surprised me. Watching on the field, it just wasn't Anthony, but their team was faster than our team. I think after one thing, I think it's a good thing for starting high school. We just played Woodbury, who had a kid going to Alabama, and they had a lot of team speed. So it's now Haddon Heights has good athletes, but I don't know if they're going to be faster than Woodbury. So to me, like I told the kids, you're not going to see anybody we just played against last week. But what Haddon Heights brings to the table, they have a good quarterback. I think they're a well-coached team. They do some really nice things on offense that cause defensive problems. And their quarterback has great patience and has a great arm, and I think he has great vision on the field. To me, I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in South Jersey, especially at the Group 2 level, because he has great arm strength, he's athletic, he can get out of the pocket, and I think he reads defenses really well. And they have some good skill guys on the edges. They have a nice offensive line. They got some big kids up front. They get in their way, and they do a nice job. They have a nice system. They're going to spread you out to throw the ball first, and then they have a great running attack. They have one of the better running backs in South Jersey, and Brandon Joyner, who's a very electrifying running back who has great vision, great balance, who hurt us last year. And if you remember, it was a great football game over there at their place, and he hurt us, I think, with 3 touchdowns. So they're going to bring a lot of challenges to our defense.
Speaking of defense, what week-to-week adjustments did you and your coaching staff make to prepare for a Heights team that predominantly is more of an air attack team? Mm-hmm. Have you guys made any adjustments coaching-wise?
Yeah, we've instilled some new coverages that we're going to put in. But we've been working on them all along. See, the biggest thing about football is you got to evaluate who you're playing and what you do well and what they do well, and now what do you have to take away. You know, so like against the West Deptford, we're going to stop the run. If they're going to beat us, going to throw the ball. Woodbury, we went into a mindset, we got to stop the quarterback. And they're going to beat us, going to throw the ball. Where now, we haven't seen a team like a Haddon Heights where you got to say, you got to stop the pass first. Well, if you stop the pass, then you got to take guys out of the box that's going to help you stop the run. And now what are you going to do? So you watch them against Haddon Township last week. Haddon Township was removing guys to stop their pass game, but it opened up their run game. You know, so, and they do a great job spreading the field, throwing the ball, running the ball. They're 50-50. You know, breaking them down, they're 50-50 running the pass. And they're one of the best teams I've seen of running screen plays. They do a great job of setting up their running back in the screen game. And, you know, they cause a lot of problems. But I think our kids are ready for them.
All right, we have the ball on offense. Again, you talked about maybe the possible weaknesses in their defense.
Mm-hmm.
What are some areas that you're looking to exploit when Sterling has the ball?
Yeah, I think one thing you notice on film is Haddon Heights has some good athletes, but they've been giving up some points on defense. So, you know, West Deptford was able to run the ball on them, but then again, their answer was putting 10 guys in the box. Well, if you put 10 guys in the box, that's going to open up the pass game. You know, so I think we're going to go into a more balanced attack, like you saw the other night against Woodbury, and hopefully we're going to be able to, because they run a 4-4 defense, cover 3, but there's some sets that you, some formation-wise that they'll play some different defenses. But I think we have to be able to establish the run and open up the pass game also at the same time. So we got to be more of a balanced team, like you saw against Woodbury. I don't think our game plan is going to change that much from Woodbury.
You speak of balance a lot. We saw a lot of different looks against Woodbury last week. Marcus Taylor under center. We saw a little bit of the Wildcat with Khalil Howard in the backfield and also some of the wing T. More of the same this week, or just you're going to focus more on more the Wildcat slash Marcus Taylor thing that's been working for you?
No, I think you're going to see a wing T offense come out. And with a little bit of a balanced attack with Preston Harrison, a quarterback, and your 4 wideouts. And then you're going to see a little bit of Marcus underneath, or Preston underneath center, and getting 2 tights and I-backs. So you're going to see a little bit of combination of what you saw against West Deptford and basically what you saw against Woodbury. I mean, the thing is I think our offense is doing a good job of understanding what we want. I think we've done a better job of coaching, of getting those kids, hey, here's what your role is, here's what we're going to ask you to do, and let's get better at it. We've been really focusing in on practice all week, just getting better at what we're doing. And hopefully, you know, we come out and we score 22 points is good. That's enough points in high school to win football games. It's up to the defense to stop them. And I say it all the time, if you score 21 points, we should win a football game.
Okay, you just mentioned that. I'm a player. I come in the locker room before the game. Usually there's a couple keys written up on the board for our fans out there. What are the keys to a Sterling win this week?
Well, it always comes down to this. Third down, well, number one goal right now is be able to run the football. Okay? We got to be able to run the football on offense. We got to be able to stop their run. Okay? Even though they're a pass first, then run second. But at the end of the day, if you can run a football on a team and you can stop their run, that's the number one goal. Number two is turnovers. Okay? Eliminate the turnovers. Then that's for us to create turnovers on defense. Our third rule is third down. When it comes down to a game, third down, are we getting the third down conversions, and are we eliminating their third down conversions? Those are the three things that we talk about week in and week out, because at the end of the day, it's not about stats. It's about able to run, stop the run, being able to turnovers, create turnovers, eliminate your own turnovers, and then third down. Who's able to get off the field on defense and on offense, be able to keep moving the chains? And that's what we always talk about. Those are the three. And then at the end of the day, play hard. Play hard on both sides of the ball. That's all we ask.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, playoff positioning. Yeah. It's starting to get a little bit more clear now, mm-hmm. especially after tonight's game. It will definitely be a lot more clear. One other game in the regular season schedule at Overbrook next Saturday. Mm-hmm. Should Sterling win tonight, mm-hmm. how does that match up for a possible home? Is a home playoff game still in the mix tonight? Should we win tonight?
I guess. I really, truly do not pay attention to that. I have no idea how many points you get for beating a team. I have no clue. But speaking to the people who follow it, know how many points you get when you beat a Group 2 team or a Group 1 and all the wins and all that stuff. I guess so. They're doing an article today in the newspaper on Khalil Howard. The sports writer for Philadelphia Inquirer was over here last night. And he and I were talking for a while, and he says, it looks like if we could win tonight and we can win next week, there's a great possibility that we could get a home game. And I think a lot of it comes down to our game tonight. And then I guess there's a Cinnaminson-Wilmboro game that's a big game in Group 2 also for that fourth or fifth spot. So if we can win tonight and win next week, it's going to put us in position for a fourth seed or a fifth seed. And I guess if you're a fourth seed, you get a home field game. If you're a fifth seed, you got to travel to the fourth seed.
So we're basically a bubble team at this point.
Correct, okay. With a home field.
Could be the last regular, well, it's the last regular season game for the seniors. Mm-hmm. In general, talk a little about this senior class and what it's meant to you as a coach.
The one thing I've been really impressed with the senior class is they've bought in. They've bought in to everything we've asked. I think when I walked in here, there's a lot of individuals. And the big thing I can sit here and say today is these guys, I think, have bought into the team concept and understand this program's bigger than them. And that's the message I always say. I mean, this program is not about you. It's about the 2012 team. It's about the players that play before you, and it's the players who are going to play after you. And the thing that I think these guys have done, they've helped build the foundation. And understand, hey, it's about Sterling High School. It's about Sterling football. And that's the thing I've been proud of. I mean, you see a huge difference in being in your second year. I've seen where these guys are at, how they've grown, how they've taken the coaching, and how they become better football players. But more important than that, they become better guys, better people in life. And that's what I always preach. Life after Sterling High School. What are you going to do with yourself? How will we help prepare you for the real world? And I've seen a lot of growing up. A lot of growing up with some of these guys from their junior year to senior year. And that's what makes it so special. That's why you get into coaching, why you get into teaching, is to make a difference in people's lives. And I've seen a huge difference in these guys as people. And that's what it's all about.
Well, Coach, best of luck tonight against Haddon Heights. Should be an interesting night tonight with homecoming and all the Spirit Week festivities have been going on. Should be a pretty good atmosphere tonight, but best of luck tonight against the Gardens.
Hey, thanks, and thanks for everything you guys do.
All right, thank you very much. Head Coach Clint Wiley here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. It's the Coach's Show. For Tad Kozineski, I'm Rob Strauss. Stay tuned for live game action right after this.